Amen. Good singing ensemble. Appreciate that. What a blessing. Amen. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. And it is good to see you here tonight. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, familiar verse. In fact, a familiar passage. One that certainly you've heard messages about and different references to, I'm sure, many times. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And then verse 17, Ecclesiastes 3, 17. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Notice there's a time there for every purpose and for every work. And now go to Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 6. It says, because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And the title of the message is taken from verse 1, a time to every purpose. Father, I pray that you will help us to understand your word tonight, and I pray you'll speak to our hearts, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will work in our lives, that we would be different because of tonight, that we'd make the decisions we need to make, and Lord, that you might answer some of our questions tonight through your word. And I pray that you'll help us to respond the way you want us to respond, that it would be profitable that we be here tonight. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was really the last 2 weeks, I was doing a lot of thinking about this and this subject. And just marveling at God and how God works in our lives. And 200 and some, a little over 200 people helped us run our two vacation Bible schools. Now you think about it, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of workers. And I'm talking about 200 different people. I'm not saying that you're different. I'm just saying individual people. 200 and some people, that teenagers, some young people helped out with Shepherd's Bible School and that, but over 200 people helped out, and every one of them was helping out to be a blessing, to try to help, provide some excitement. Again, you know, I think of the Shepherd's Ministry and the folks that sat with the shepherds and just kind of watching them and, you know, just reveling in everything and having a good time. And then I thought of vacation Bible school with the children and just trying to make it fun and exciting, and teachers doing crazy things and decorating their hats and those beautiful, beautiful, expensive tiaras with jewels and everything, and just people giving themselves. But as I watched, I kept noticing folks coming in to cheer people up that they themselves needed cheered up. I kept watching people come in that are hurting and struggling and going through tough times. I kept watching, and I thought about, you know, just listing some, but I really don't want to do that tonight. And because I would certainly leave somebody out, because the truth of the matter is, we all have seasons of difficulty and trials, and there's folks right here in this room that are going through some tough times. But I watched folks, as I mentioned this morning, just amazing, leaving a hospital, for example, and then coming, where it's usually not encouraging. It's usually not just a lot of fun. It's usually, a difficult time. And I think of myself walking in and out of the hospital many, many times this past week. And then coming and folks are smiling and folks are happy and we're rejoicing and praising God. And then maybe going back to the hospital later on and it being a sorrowful time and all of that. And I thought about the different seasons. I thought about the different emotions that we go through. And the reason that is because there's a time for every purpose. There's a period of time for everything that goes on in our life. There's a period of time for every purpose, and God simply calls it a season. And I'm glad he calls it a season because I can kind of understand this season. I mean, he describes it in chapter 3, a time to be born, a time to die. Each of those are, they are their season. The time to be born, the time to die. Time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. Time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. By the way, that's not the time during the offering at Vacation Bible School. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. In other words, each time has its season. Each time cries out, hey, it's my time, this is my season. And a time to get, and a time to lose. We've all experienced both, amen. A time to keep, a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. And in all of these, we can understand, and we certainly can understand, the terminology of a season. A time, a season, a period for every purpose under the sun. Everything that takes place has its season. It has its time. You know, it's interesting. God, and we know this to be true, God is not the author of confusion. God does everything decently and in order. You just look at the human body and you just see God's order in it. You watch a day and you see God's order in it. And God is not the author of confusion. And seasons run their course. And, you know, a season begins and it ends. Another season begins and it ends. Now, certainly we recognize that sometimes seasons, they take place at the same time. Like in sports, you can have, like recently we had basketball season ending, hockey season was ending, and the start of baseball was beginning, and those seasons kind of went together. And that's kind of what I was thinking of when I was at Vacation Bible School these last 2 weeks. Is those seasons kind of blending into each other. But each one had its purpose. Each one had its fulfillment. It had its beginning, it had its ending. And those seasons blended together. I was thinking about at one point in this past week, I was working on sermons for Sunday. I was working on Anna Karen's Quinceañera, which is a happy time and all of that. I was working on a funeral sermon. I was looking at hospital visits that I had to make. And just think about all those things that were going on. Some were happy, some were sad. Some were, you know, they were, oh, you know, this is going to be great and we're going to have a lot of fun. And others is, boy, this is going to be kind of a tough thing. But that's how seasons are. I think about the message for Anna Karen and challenging a young teen girl to do right and serve God and thinking about her future and thinking all that she has before her and then driving down to Flower Hospital and watching Betty Warner hooked up to all those machines and everything and I thought about the seasons. And I thought about a time to every purpose. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 6 is really where I want to go. And I don't think it'll be very long tonight. I just want to show you some things. And I found in this study as I went through this week and really the last couple of weeks, I found in this study some answers to some questions, some things that I think will help you understand this thing of the seasons. And I'm not telling you anything you didn't already know as far as seasons, because we understand that. But in Ecclesiastes 8:6, I saw this verse and it really was precious to me, because it just made me think about some things. Because he says in verse 6, because to every purpose, which we talked about, there's a time for every purpose. He says this, to every purpose, there's time and judgment. In other words, after a period of time, then you judge what happened. Okay, there's got to be that period of time, and then you judge. Okay? There is time and judgment. But again, you got to have that time. You have to have that season. For example, you can't say, boy, this has been a really bad summer. Well, the season's not over. We don't know if it's been a bad summer or not. We don't know what it's been. Well, it's been a wet summer. Yeah, and we may end up with the last couple of months as a drought. You know, you can't, don't judge the summer until summer's over. Don't judge the season until the season's over. There's got to be time and judgment. So after a period of time, then judge the season. After a period of time, then judge the purpose. Okay? Our problem is we want to judge in the middle of the season. Our problem is we it all comes down to this. It comes down to we don't know how long the season is. We don't know how long the season is. And think about this, all right? Think about a book report. All right, we're not in school, so you don't have to dread that, all right? Sandy's already, she's excited. I said book report, she lit up. I mean, yes, hallelujah, book report. And think about a book report. A book report, typically, a teacher says, okay, you have X amount of time to read the book, X amount of time to turn in, you know, a card with what your book report's going to be about. X amount of time to turn in your rough draft. X amount of time to clean all that up and make it a final draft. And then you get graded. Okay? She's not going to grade the book report while you're still reading the book. Because you haven't written the book report yet. Wait till the end of the season. It wouldn't be right for her to say, well, you know, I've kind of been watching you read your book and I've decided to give you a C on your book report. You say, wait a minute. I haven't even finished reading the book yet. I haven't even written my report yet. How can you give me a C? But isn't that what we do? I mean, honestly, we many, many times in the middle of the season, and I'll explain that in a minute here, we many times in the middle of the season say, wait a minute, I don't like this. This isn't right. This doesn't make sense. Hey, this is no good. God, you said that you're good. God, you said that all things work together for good. God's saying to you, wait till the season's over. Don't judge now. Let the time pass. The time has to pass. Okay, you can't judge a crop when you're plowing before you plant the crop. You can't plant the crop and the next day walk out and say, it's a flop. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Again, give it the time that it has to have. By the way, this is how it works in our lives. Time and judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, what? Judgment. Okay? You look at somebody's life and you say, well, they're obviously, they haven't amounted to much. Wait a minute, the season's not over yet. Are y'all listening? I'll be honest, there are many people that that have died, and guess what? Their life has continued on and produced huge amounts of fruit. It would be terrible to look at their life that they lived and say, wow, they didn't amount to anything, because they had sons and daughters who had sons and daughters who had sons and daughters who did great things. Season's not over. Don't judge. Don't judge the season till the season is completely done. And that's the whole idea. When, you know, it's not right 2 weeks after you planted your crop to think, yeah, this doesn't look good. You gotta give it its time. Everything has to have its time. And our problem is verse 7. And it's very, very simple. He knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? And that's where we have our trouble. We have a season of sickness, and we get upset. And we get, you know, we're upset at God. We have a season of financial problems. And in the middle of it, we get upset at God. But wait a minute. You don't know how that's going to turn out. You have, look, it has a time that is already set for that purpose to be accomplished. And our biggest problem we have is, number one, we don't know what's supposed to be accomplished yet. And number two, we don't understand or know the time and where we are in our season. How many times do we say, I just don't see why I'm going through this? But it's not for us to see why we're going through this. It's for us to understand there's a time for every purpose. And there is a purpose God has in this thing for me. There is a purpose. See, verse 5 says this, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart, watch it, discerneth both time and judgment. A wise man says, there's still time. And a wise man says, judgment comes after the end of the season. I want to show you five things tonight that I think will tie all this together. Number one is God's promises. God's promises. Back in chapter 3 and verse 1, God promises this. He says to everything, there is a season. What is a season? A season is a set period of time. That is a promise. There is no question about that. In verse 17, he says, there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. God's promise. No question about that. Go with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 1 and verse 18. Again, sticking with the theme of seasons, Luke chapter 1 and verse 18. Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. And look what it says, which shall be fulfilled in their season. God's words shall be fulfilled in their season. You know, God says this is going to happen. God said Jesus, the Messiah, is going to be born. He said that to Adam and Eve. People looked and waited and waited and waited for the Messiah. They waited and waited, and every boy that was born, they expected that to be the Messiah. When was Jesus born? The Bible says when the fullness of the time was come. What's that mean? That means it was in season. God's word always, listen to me, God's promises always come true. God's promises, all of God's promises will be fulfilled. I mean, we look at, obviously Jesus must be coming soon. We know this for a fact. He's coming. That's what we know. Okay? Soon, we don't know that. We have no idea. Soon. Because soon involves time, and we don't know how long the season is. But I promise you this, when the season comes, and when the end of a season or the beginning of that season, when it's time for Him to come, He will come. Why? God promised it, that's why. There's no question about that. It will happen. And so all of His promises, including the end of a season, it's going to happen. Back to Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 11. There is no question about it. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Sometimes we think somehow that, God's not going to do what He said. God is always going to do what He says. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. God, that is a promise. God is going to do that. It is going to happen. And just because the thing is not taking place in your timing that you think, it is going to happen. It is going to happen. A lot of people, their lives have been rearranged based on this idea that, I think I've gotten away with this thing. No, God, listen to me. We don't get away with anything. Everything God said is true. God's promises always come true. And just as sure as I'm standing here, the end of every season, it has an end. See, I'm going through a tough time. There's an end. There is an end. No question about it. I'm in a season of sin. There's an end. One way or another, there's an end. We can sit here all we want and play games about this thing, but there every season there's a time to every purpose. You say, well, I'm getting away with all this stuff. I'm doing whatever I want to do. Nobody knows about it. Let me tell you something. The end is coming. It will come. It's just like the kid that thinks he's getting away with stuff with his parents, and maybe he is for a while, but eventually the end comes. And Lord willing, it's at the end of a paddle. And that ends it. God's promises are always true. Hey, Jesus is coming. There's no question. And the thing we struggle with is that time. Your trial is ending. The thing you struggle with is that time. Just that time. God's promises, though, remember that. His word is always going to happen, just like he said. Number two is God's provision. Look at Psalm 145, verse 15. Psalms 145 and verse 15. Now, stay with me now. I know some of you, you say, well, this is too deep. It's not deep. It's very, very simple. Psalms 145 and verse 15. It says this, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. You see that? Due season. When is that? It's when it's due. Okay? That's when they get their meat. God provides when it's due. Not before, never too late, but when it's due. You say, well, wait a minute. Who determines when it's due? God does. Because God knows best. Truth of the matter is, most of us have no idea what we really need. We really don't. There's not a person in this room that would send to themselves tribulation. And yet the Bible says tribulation worketh patience. What's going to help you be more patient? Tribulation. But you wouldn't order it. I mean, seriously, if you had a checklist of things, okay, here's $100,000, check. Here's all the food you could possibly ever want, check. Here's, for a young person, all the toys you could ever want, check, check, check. All the video games you could ever want, check. A trip to an unlimited pass to Cedar Point, check. You know, I mean, we'd put all those kind of tribulation. You gotta be kidding. Why would I want? See, we don't really know what we need, but he does. And guess what? That's the purpose, and there's a time for every purpose. He has a time for what we need. But he always provides what we need. Always. You say, well, but I need this. And if you did need it, you would have it. How do you know? Because God. Because God says he'll give them their meat in due season. You know, we worry about some of the silliest things when God is going to take care of us. God is always on time. God is never too early. God is never too late. He is always on time. But again, he knows the season. And he knows that there's a time to every purpose. And he knows exactly when you need that loaf of bread. He knows exactly when you need that sack of groceries. Before the foundation of the earth was ever laid, he planned that sack of groceries that came to our doorstep that one day. He knew when we would need it the most. There were many times I would have said, boy, I'll tell you, we need a sack of groceries. But the truth of the matter is, we really needed that sack of groceries then. Are you listening? I mean, honestly, there's a $100 bill coming your way. You say, really? When? When you need it. In due seasons, it's just when it's due. God's promises, God's provision. Number three is God's perfect timing. You know, look at 2 Kings verse 4. I'll show you a real deep truth. 2 Kings verse 4. There's 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 16. And he said about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. She said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. The woman conceived and bare a son. Watch. At that season, that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. What was the time of life? What was that? 9 months. Now look, God's perfect timing, first of all, under this is the right amount of time. 9 months is the right amount of time for a baby to grow inside its mother's womb. We get nervous when babies are born premature. I mean, there's all kinds of problems. Have you ever seen them? I've seen some that are very, very tiny, very premature. Sarah's got a friend that had a baby born that was very premature, very just a tiny little thing. We saw down in Shreveport, Louisiana, a little baby born premature and hooked up to all the little wires and tubes and all those kind of things. And again, we say, wow, that's kind of a tough thing. And we all know that fruit, before it's ready, it doesn't taste right. You know, it doesn't taste right. We want it to get ripened. We want it to reach the season that it is supposed to, so that it has grown, it has matured, it has gone the right amount of time. Now, God knows all these things. Okay, you say, my trial needs to end now. No, your trial needs to have the right amount of time. There needs to be that right amount. I don't know what that is, but He knows. You say this economic problem, it just needs to be over now. No, it needs the right amount of time to accomplish the purpose that it's even there for. Do you think all this stuff is just because everybody's just so bad? Do you think we're having financial problems because we're wicked or something? I mean, it could be that. I don't know. But whatever the reason that it is happening, it is God's purpose to let it happen. And it has to be the right amount of time. Just like a baby, the right amount of time for it to grow inside its mother's womb is 9 months. And God's seasons all have a right amount of time. And again, we want to play God and say, okay, I need to look up somewhere in a dictionary and find out how long that is. No, you don't. You know what you need to do? You need to trust God. So God's timing, God's perfect timing, is the right amount of time. But then the second part under this is it's the right time. It is the right time. Psalm 1 and verse 3, familiar verse. We know Psalm 1, and I made reference to it here just recently. Verse 3, it says, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. When? In his season. It's got to be the right time. Wouldn't it be terrible if all the fruit came on in the winter? And it would all die. You know, I mean, you wouldn't want all the fruit to come on and then die. You want it to come on when the season is right, that God has planned for it so that it can be harvested and can be used. The right time is crucial. Hey, you wouldn't want your trial to end. You say, yes, I do. Would you really want it to end? Would you really want the fruit to come out and then die? Or would you want the fruit to come out and remain? Seems to me like if I'm going to go through a trial, I'd like it to accomplish the purpose in my life. The purpose for which it came. And you know what that requires? Time. God's time. Why? Because it has to be the right amount of time, and it has to be the right time. Mark 12, verse 1. Mark 12, 1. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard, and set an hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, built a tower, let it out to husbandmen, went into a far country. And at the season, you see it? At the season, he sent to the husbandman a servant that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. Now he sent them there to receive the harvest when it was harvest season. He didn't send them there when they were planting the vineyard and say, where's my harvest? He didn't send them after they planted the hedge about it and say, where's the harvest? He didn't send them when they dig the place for the wine vat and say, hey, wait, where is my harvest? No, he didn't send them after they built the tower. Well, I see you have a tower, where's the harvest? No, he sent them during the harvest season, after everything had been planted, after everything had been watered, after everything had grown, after everything had been harvested. Not before, not later on. Why? Because he wanted the harvest. A time to every purpose. Hey, listen, does God have something he's doing in your life? Well, it takes time. It takes time. That's how God always operates. He operates that way with fruit. He operates that way with a little baby. He operates that way in our lives. He has a time where he wants to accomplish his purpose in our life. It has to be the right amount of time. It is the right time. Hey, by the way, that's why 5-year-olds don't drive cars. That and their feet can't reach the pedals. But that's why 10-year-olds aren't brain surgeons. It's not time yet. I remind you, Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. Not before, not after, when the fullness of the time was come. Perfect timing. I promise you this, the second coming is perfect timing too. We'll all get together in heaven someday, and we'll talk about, wow, isn't that amazing how God put all that together and this had to happen and that had to happen and this had to take place and boom, the rapture took place and there we went and we'll be watching all this stuff on DVD and it'll be amazing. Just like we talk about the coming of Christ at Christmas time and His birth. See, it's the right amount of time and it's the right time because that's how God operates His season. God's promise, God's provision, God's perfect timing. Number four is God's purpose. Go to Leviticus 26 and verse 4. I'm just about done. Leviticus 26 and verse 4. Leviticus 26 and verse 4. Notice what God says. He says, then I will give you rain in due season. And the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall reach unto the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And notice, you know, that's just the whole process of the season. Isn't that good? And they're eating their bread. That's good. But notice what God does here. He says, I'll give you rain in due season. Now, who says when the due season is? It's the right time. It's due season. But who determines that? All right, here's one for you. It rains. And the Smith family, they have planned a huge family picnic out in the woods. And they've got it all planned out. They've got food. They've got fried chicken. They have potato salad. They have all the dietary foods you're supposed to have as well. They have everything all set up. I mean, it's a huge gathering out in the middle of the woods. And they are so excited about that thing. The Jones family, they put their crops out months ago. And they're all dying because of lack of water. The Smith family prayed that day that it'd be a beautiful sunny day. The Jones family prayed that day that it would rain to save their crops. Now you tell me, it rained. Is that good or bad? Now, multiply that by hundreds of people. Multiply that by hundreds of situations. And you know what we have to say? Well, I don't know. I just don't know. I love the story. You've heard of my assistant that was killed in the car wreck. His wife, Kathy, always planted a garden, just a little garden. not even a fourth of this platform, just a little garden. And, of course, after Ken died, it was even smaller yet because she was the only one eating of her garden unless she gave things away. But she every year she planted her little garden. And she might have had just a few tomato plants and a little bit of sweet corn and just a little garden out there. And I'll never forget one season, Brian Lehman, who was a farmer who did truck crops, and he also had his popcorn business and everything. I'll never forget one of his cabbage that he had. It was underwater. I mean, we had had quite a bit of rain. But Kathy over here in her little house with her little garden, she hadn't had a lot of rain, and it wasn't enough for her. By the way, when you pastor farmers, you deal with this stuff all the time. I'll never forget she stood up and gave a prayer request. And she said, "I'm just asking God if He would to just maybe tonight, just give me an inch of rain." Brian was sitting right over here, and he went, no. I'll never forget. And I noticed that, and I said, "Brian, what's wrong?" He said, "Well," he said, "you know, my crops are, you know, some of them are already underwater." And she said, "I just need a little teeny bit." And I asked the people, I said, "Okay, you pray however you choose." That night, we got an inch of rain. The next day, Brian called and said, "Pastor, I need you to come out to my field and pray that this water goes away." Guess who was happy? Kathy. Her two tomato plants were thriving. Her, you know, five stalks of corn, they were booming. And her beans were happy and everything was growing. And Brian was flooded. You know what? Who decides? God's purpose. You know, the thing you may gripe about the most might be the biggest blessing in another person's life. Do you know the thing you're the most upset about might be the greatest thing that ever happened to somebody else? I'm talking about your trial. I'm talking about your heartache. I'm talking about your sorrow. I'm talking about vacation Bible school. You come and there's people that are hurting and yet they're smiling. There's people that are going through hard times and yet they're helping others that are going through hard times. God's purpose. I think about these things a lot. Job chapter 5, verse 26. Go to Job. And of course, we all know about Job. And much of what is in the book of Job deals with trials and difficulties. Job 5 and verse 6. He says this. 5:26, I'm sorry. He says, "Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season." You ever see that corn when it's ready? You know, it's very obvious. It's ready. But you know what he compares that to? He compares that to death. And he says, "Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age." What's that mean? That full age. What is a full age? Well, a full age is whatever God says it is. It's when that person, listen to me, has accomplished their purpose. I did a funeral for a little six-month-old boy. My wife remembers this because there actually was, I walked in for the visitation time and the funeral director said, "Pastor, you've got to do something. These people are going to kill each other." And these two families, I wasn't their pastor. They didn't come to our church. They had just asked the funeral director to call somebody to officiate the service. And so I was the one that he called. And as soon as I got there, he said, you got to get in there. And this little, I'm going to say 6 month old, maybe he was a year old boy. He might have been a year old when he died. But I mean, these families were all fighting over this thing and everything. And I preached a message about that child's life. And it was amazing how God just showed people all that little boy had done. And I preached the message that he had accomplished his purpose. You say, "Yeah, but he was just a baby. He was just..." Yeah, he accomplished his purpose. How do you know? Because he reached his full age. Well, how do you know? Because he went to his grave. Well, Well, that doesn't seem right. Wait a minute. God has a purpose in what he does. I've preached funerals for babies. I preached a funeral one time for... I didn't preach the funeral, but I attended the funeral. Three little boys who were killed in a house fire. I've preached funerals for young people, teenagers. Jason Robinson died of cancer at 14 years old. Preached his funeral. 20-year-old people, I preached their funerals. You say, well, it's just not right. Well, wait a second. They reached their full age. Well, preacher, how do you know it's their full? Because they came to their grave. And God said that's when the season is over. Because there's a time to every purpose. A time is set to every purpose. And what are you saying? I'm saying they had a purpose for their time. And if it was a month, if it was 6 months, if it was 70 years, that's up to God. I don't know what the purpose was. But I know God does. And I know this, back to our text. And I am just about done. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8. It says this, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And that's talking about us. We cannot control that thing. And God never says oops. Ever. First Peter 1, verse 6. Again, we're talking about God's purpose. We're really nailing this thing down. 1 Peter 1 and verse 6. At least I hope we are. 1 Peter 1, 6. I read this passage often to people in hospitals. I read it to people in jail. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And it talks here about a season of heaviness. That's pretty much me since I was 10th grade on. No. But it's not talking about our weight. It's talking about some of you are really struggling. It's talking about discouragement, or we use the terminology depression. A season of that. You know, it says, ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. But then we start to understand this season of discouragement, depression, manifold temptations, when it says in verse 7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious. Now watch this. The trial is more precious than of gold that perisheth. I'm talking about the good gold because he says, though it be tried with fire. But the key to it all, might be found. Look at it. Might be found. When? When judgment comes. When's that? That's at the end of the season. Might be found. How? Unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That you might be found when? At the end of the season. Please, please don't judge me now. Wait till the end of the season. Please don't analyze and scrutinize and judge now. Let me go through the trials I need to go through. Let me have the temptations I need to have. Let me grow as God wants me to grow. Let me become what He wants me to become. And then, at the end of the season, then decide. Let me influence who He wants me to influence. Let me have a part in the lives He wants me to have a part in. Let me go through all those kinds of things and let me finish the whole season. Why? That we might be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. If it's a trial of your faith, you need it. you need it. If it's a trial, and I've got tons of trials even now, I need them. By the way, I might need this message more than anybody. I had another message for tonight, and God just pushed me to study this out. And maybe it was for me. If so, I apologize. Use what you can. I'm just saying this. If it's a trial of faith, you need it. You might be shocked how many others need it too. And while you're saying, oh God, please help, somebody else may be saying, glory to God in the highest. This is so good. And while you're saying, hallelujah, somebody else might be saying, oh God, please help me. Because every purpose has a time. It has a season. Let me remind you, Proverbs 15:33 and Proverbs 18:12 say the same thing. Before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. Before Joseph became a prince, Joseph was in a pit. By the way, don't judge Joseph for the middle of the season. Don't look at Joseph. If you look at Joseph in the middle of the season, you say, oh, how sad, how terrible, God forgot all about him. Look at his poor guy, look what he's going through. And don't judge him that way. By the way, don't judge Job in the middle of his season either. That's what his friends did. That's what his friends did. Please don't judge me in the middle of mine either. And I'll not judge you in the middle of yours. You know, it's not over till it's over. And that's up to God. But if God has a purpose, I've got so many things that I think about in reference to all these things as far as God's purpose. But I recognize this. I recognize God's promise. His promises are always true. They always come true. God provides always. He never fails to provide. God has perfect timing. God's purpose is what really matters. And His purpose is the thing that He gives time to. We don't know how long the time is, so we get frustrated. But I close with number five, and that's God's process. And His process, very simply, is just time. And since we don't know how long that season is, how long the season of trial, how long the season of testing, how long the season of suffering, we don't know how long it is. Here's what He tells the man of God to do, and I leave it with you tonight. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Here's what He tells us to do. Here's what He tells a man of God. And I love it. And it's a verse that we've memorized. And one of these Sunday nights, several of us are going to sing about it. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. What's He saying? He's just saying this. Be instant. What's instant? Ready. When? In season. Be ready. Be ready in season. Hey, it's spring. We better get out our umbrellas. It's spring. We better... No, wait. He said be instant, in season, and out of season. Right? Yeah, don't put your umbrellas away just because it's winter, because it rains in the winter too. And certainly don't put your snow shovels away in Michigan in May, because I've seen it snow in May. What's He saying? He's just saying be ready. Be prepared for all seasons. Be ready. Be instant. Be ready for anything. I watch folks... I know you left your car with tears in your eyes. And you dried your eyes and you came out and gave a big smile to a little child. That's what He's talking about. Because, okay, my season's overlap. My heart's breaking. But I want to help somebody else whose heart's breaking. My season's overlap. And I need to be ready. I need to be instant. I need to be prepared. I need to be able handle the season that I'm in. And I need to ultimately, in everything that goes on, I need to just trust God. Some of you, it would change your life if you would quit complaining about the middle of the season. I'm serious, it would change your life. Well, I just don't like the way this is. But you don't know how it's going to end. There comes a time where we just have to say, God, you have a purpose in this, and I just want your purpose to be accomplished. Many of us, we would say this, and probably wouldn't even really mean it, but yet we would say it. If it meant somebody getting saved, I'd be willing to die. If it meant somebody getting right or their life being, I'd be willing to lose an arm. I'd be willing this. I'd be willing that. But it's amazing when that season comes how unwilling we are. Trust Him. Trust Him with His purpose, because there's a time for every purpose. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Please don't look around. Please don't talk.